Bred in the north, but raised in the south. That's why I speak proper with these goals in my mouth. On the north side, they really try about a mansion. Ratchet thought from Birmingham, ain't never seen.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of This Week on Black Twitter. My name is Twyla Moore, and I'm the host of this amazing, phenomenal, entertaining podcast. This Week on Black Twitter is your modern-day version of a barbershop or beauty salon. We keep the conversation going on things that has recently been trending within the Black Twitter community. Today in the studio with me, I have Tara, who you guys have gotten to know the past two episodes.
Hey.
And that person would be a first-time guest, Albany.
Albany, the Albany Ayana. You know, the one, the only, the excellent, the amazing. Follow me on all social media platforms at _ Albany Ayana, A-B-A-N-I-A-Y-A-N-N-A.
Okay.
All right.
Before we get into the meat of the podcast, Tara wants to take some time and talk about a nigga that made her some spaghetti last night.
Why you gotta put me on blast?
With the Texas toast. With the Texas toast.
You was tweeting about it.
Okay, let me. Was it the Italian blend? What was it?
This is what had happened was.
When you were saying that nigga can't cook, then you tweeted back like, oh, no, y'all
I did not say, I never say he cooked. Okay, I just say he had the right utensils.
Everybody ain't able. Everybody ain't got a gourmet chef kitchen.
A damn strainer costs $5.
Maybe he didn't grow up with a strainer in his house. Maybe they just poured the water and they put a fork
he
in there and hold the noodles down and poured
spaghetti.
Out. Everybody ain't able. See, you're bougie. You ain't never struggled. You just put the fork in there, pour the water out, and then you put it back on the stove.
He put the top on top of the pan to drain the hamburger.
That's innovative.
Then he put the pot, the same top, on the noodles to drain the noodles.
But did it slap, though, when it was good?
I mean, it was good.
Okay.
I'm not going to cap.
Was you trying to take a to-go plate?
No.
Okay. Wasn't that good? All right.
I was just hungry, to be honest. But this shit was good. Like, I ain't gonna
what color is this man?
Dark skin.
Okay. So what's
most dark skin dudes can cook, though.
I mean, it's not no problem. It ain't no problem.
Ain't no problem. Okay.
She really just mad because he didn't text her back.
Dang.
And she told him that his spaghetti was A1 and he didn't text her back.
It was good, but I thought the date went really well.
Give him time.
Hold on, who is this? This is somebody new?
Yes.
Okay, this ain't homeboy from who came to the...
No.
Kickback. So if he don't take you back tomorrow, so
we ride out at dawn.
Yeah, but yeah,
not
period.
Out at dawn.
Period.
You just cancel him. You just be like, all right, enjoy your life.
I mean, it's 2019. We always on our phone.
That
I mean,
true.
Yes and no. But this is coming from somebody who, like, at this point, I don't even care about the text back. Like, well, I care about the text back, but it doesn't have to be in such a, like, timely matter. Like,
I mean,
I don't know. Niggas gonna do what niggas wanna do. So at this point, I'm gonna do what I wanna do. And
I know,
exactly.
It's just like,
it is what it is.
I thought we had a nice time.
Maybe he's trying to tie up some loose ends. Maybe he had such a wonderful time with you that he got to tell his other bitches it's over with.
Okay, maybe so. Maybe so.
We're going to look at the glasses half full.
Until 24 hours from now, then we can check back in.
Okay,
so moving along until our segment, What the Tweets Are Saying. This is a segment of the show where my guests and I will discuss what has recently been trending within the Black Twitter community. And when I say this past week, y'all was showing y'all whole entire ass on Twitter. Y'all showed y'all whole
y'all was acting like niggers. Hard
y'all. Y'all had SpongeBob out here in every wig imaginable. Y'all out here sending death threats because Shorty asked if you want ice with that. It was just... It was a lot that was happening, but let's start off slow. A few days ago, Young Miami of City Girls posted an image on her IG that said, "A hit is a hit. Some of y'all hoes need writers, period." And this stems from her receiving backlash, if you want to call it that, when people find out that Lil Yachty wrote Act Up, most of Act Up, about like 85% of that song was written by a nigga.
I bet your little brother wanna fuck on me.
Exactly.
I bet your little
Lil Yachty wrote all of that.
Like
so Asian DeBrat, aka Asian Doll, responded and she tweeted, "We write our own shit," and she added Meg Thee Stallion. Then she came back and said, "If I'm talking about anybody, I'll put a date, name, and address on what the F or what I'm talking about. What did me saying I write my own shit got to do with anybody? Everybody who writes their music loves saying they write their music. If you get offended, that's on you. I love bragging about myself. I don't give an F." So the question, ladies, is a few questions. One, do you think that we hold female rappers to a higher standard? Two, do you care if the music that you listen to, if the artist wrote it or not? Does it matter to you?
No.
I think in the rap game specifically, it's not just females. I think in a rap game, period, people do hold people who write their own raps to a different standard. Because wasn't it just, I mean, just what, 4 or 5 years ago when Meek Mill and Drake got into it?
Yeah.
And they were saying that Drake had the ghostwriter. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Meek Mill said that Drake had the ghostwriter.
Quentin was his name.
So,
but that didn't do nothing to Drake. Like,
exactly. So it's like, if you have good music, you have good music. But I think it only matters in the rap game whether or not you're writing your own raps. Because nobody's sitting here saying, Beyonce ain't write all her songs. But we know that Beyonce usually has 3 or 4 writers in a room with her when she writes a song.
But I think it's like different for rappers. If you're rapping about scamming niggas, I want you to be out there scamming niggas.
JT told y'all what she was doing and y'all see where she at.
True.
I feel like female rappers are definitely held to a higher standard. I feel like Megan is so hard because I feel like she kind of like authentic and like I feel like she write all her stuff, but I feel like at the same time like Aubrey said, Drake like had a ghostwriter and we just forgot about that shit.
Yeah, like so he's giving us bangers. Does it matter?
Exactly. So like I don't mind if my favorite song is ghostwritten. That's just my opinion.
Do you feel like rap has changed from like our parents' generation? Because if somebody found that you was a rapper in like 90s hardcore rap time, and you had a ghostwriter, my nigga, you done. Like, yeah. Not playing
they would have torn
That's because people don't even like freestyle no more. And there's no such, like, people don't have rap battles. Like, those things are not even, like, really around anymore. Back in the 90s and the early 2000s, if you was a rapper, you had to come with it.
Yeah.
And the streets knew you before the rest of the world knew you.
That's true.
And you had to get that approval from the streets. And I think that's kind of where the vibe that Meg has. Mm-hmm. The streets knew Meg before the world knew Meg. So she already has, like, that street approval. So, I mean, let's be honest. Cardi don't write her own raps. And she didn't want to whole Grammy, and she says she don't write her raps.
Probably.
So it doesn't, it really honestly doesn't matter, but I just think it only matters in like the rap game because of the past and the history of rap where you had to write your stuff and come with it and you had to know how to give bars anytime people needed bars.
When you say rap game, you mean like rapper to rapper is when it probably matters more?
Yeah, okay. I think, yeah, like I just, it's just different now. The times have changed and honestly, if you got the look and if you got the sound, I mean, what's her name, Saweetie?
Can't rap at all. And she got all types of songs
dating Quavo and living her best
life. No, but she is also light-skinned and pretty.
She's light-skinned pretty. She got a bad body. She will be okay.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Okay. And she, there's other rappers that aren't light-skinned and they're, I mean, that pretty and they're the
name
best
one. Name one other than Cardi. Again, she light-skinned
Sweetie,
pretty.
Sweetie also has, like, a hookup within the industry. Like, I think Quavo, she's cousin with...
Gabrielle Union.
Yeah, and Zaytoven.
She's Gabrielle Union's cousin?
Yes. Yeah. Like, Sweetie? Real cousin. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they are
trash. Trash! Trash!
All right, so moving right along, this week on Black Twitter, two different people were dragged for two different reasons. One situation, I felt like they rightfully so deserved that dragging. And the other situation, you niggas was doing too much. But before we get into the crazy part, let's start off with the one that I feel like they deserve. So there's a YouTube couple that goes by the name The Prince Family on YouTube. And they just recently welcomed their third child, who also happens to be their first daughter, to their family. Them being a YouTube couple, of course, they vlogged the birth and posted it on YouTube, which, in my opinion, is fine. I'm not here to judge how you make your money. Mm-hmm. If you want to do these fake ass pranks and say, you know, my nigga cheated on me and post it on YouTube, make your money, let your money make you. I don't care. The issue for me is the comments that were made within the vlog itself. A smooth 6 seconds after that baby came out of her vagina, they were sitting there talking about how she gonna be dark skinned. The mom just seems really disappointed. Like,
is this the family who was like, I wanted my baby to have pretty eyes.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so they were saying things like that, like the tip of her ears, you can tell she's going to be darker tone. She doesn't have pretty eyes because her eyes were brown. And the mom is like a light-skinned girl with green eyes. It was just...
I feel like, first of all, the mom's eyes are fake, but okay, go ahead.
Okay. So then Aaliyah J, the YouTuber, tweeted to them and said, bitches be so ungrateful, need to grow up and love themselves. There are so many women in the world who can't have or carry children. I don't even have any kids yet, but now I pray that when I do, that baby is healthy and my pregnancy is good. Nothing else matters besides that. And then she came back and said, and what the F are pretty eyes? Eyes are fucking eyes. This video is actually so annoying. Imagine what other ignorant shit she might be saying. Imagine taking your first breath and it's the first thing that you hear.
The self-hate jumped out. Like,
just from my personal opinion, for something... Like, it's one thing to say that later on down the line, but you just gave birth.
It's so
many women that's out here that's struggling to have kids naturally and going through with the IVF and surrogates and all these other things. Just trying to have a child successfully. You have had children successfully. Now have had this other child successfully. And then, how you think your daughter gonna feel when she look back on this? Like, you put this out here in the world. So she can look this up and 10 years from now, 20 years from now, she can see that. And she's gonna see, oh, my mom said I don't have pretty eyes. What's wrong with my eyes? What's wrong with me? Why my eyes don't look pretty enough? I just think that it was an ignorant comment. Do I think think that she purposely said it to be malicious? No.
You think that she's a colorist, though?
I think that she probably has never experienced certain things as far as, like, that darker skin, black women of color or women of color experience. So she does have light skin privilege. So I just think that she made the comment out of ignorance and not fully knowing what a comment like that can do to someone who may not be of the same skin tone, which is something she probably never had to think about because she's not dark skin, she's lighter skin. And the image for young girls, their image is so important to them. You have to really instill that, you know, that they're pretty, that you love them, that they're smart, and
from like day one.
And by you saying, oh, my daughter doesn't have pretty eyes, it's just not a good look. It's a very ignorant comment. And I think, didn't she issue an apology or
she did, but her apology she basically
like an explanation video.
Recited word for word what she literally meant.
We're not stupid, girl. We know what you meant. It was just trash. She was like, I was just saying that brown eyes in society aren't considered to be pretty, but that goes back to this whole rationalized standard of beauty that's shoved down our throats from the moment that we're born, especially as everybody in this studio right now, well, all the girls in the studio right now, we're brown toned. Mm-hmm. From day one, we're being told, you know, every rapper, red bone, long
foreign.
Hair. Yeah, foreign. Like,
if she ain't foreign, she born.
Yeah, she ain't foreign, she born. It's just consistently shoved down our throats into her mind. It doesn't make it okay. Like, her justification was, well, everybody does it and y'all know what I meant, but it's still trash.
And her justification really wasn't even a justification because there was no facts involved. Because she said, like, have you ever heard anybody give anybody a compliment with brown eyes? Have you ever heard anybody say people with brown eyes look nice?
Yeah.
And even her, and this even goes to, I guess, her husband or her baby daddy. I don't know if they're married together, whatever the case. But even him, like, him being, because he's not light-skinned himself, so him being of a darker complexion, he should understand what people are trying to say, but instead he's just going along with it. But I've gotten compliments on my eyes plenty of times, and I've been around people who have had brown, hazel, whatever the case may be, and people love their eyes. So the things that she's saying weren't even factual. She was just speaking out of pure ignorance, and at this point, she just need to shut up and raise her kids, because, like, it's nothing else for her to say, like, and I hope that she learns from this.
I feel bad, because, like, she got to grow up, and let's say she is the dark skin tone of the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like she's going to get treated differently from her mom.
Yeah.
She's not going to receive the love that she deserves.
I agree.
And just, like, I feel like it's weird. Like, why do you have that obsession? Because I feel like this stems from, okay, my baby's going to get chose.
Yeah, honestly.
So that's weird
honestly,
as fuck. So, like, when dudes are like, well, dudes, like, perpetually go for white women to make mixed kids. Like, why are you seeking out?
That goes back to slavery, though. Like, people, people thinking people of a lighter skin tone are treated better and accepted more in society, and that's the stigma that we've been trying to break since it was
forever. And I'm not saying lighter skin people, I don't want to make the argument that they necessarily don't get treated better. I think that's a whole other conversation. But if they do or if they don't, the only way that it's going to change is if we stop feeding into that bullshit. If we stop saying, oh, I only date light skin niggas, I only date light skin girls, I want my baby to have light eyes and curly hair. Every time we have a baby, the first thing we say is, oh, damn, she gonna be dark.
That's I want my baby to be blackity black.
Honestly.
Okay, I'm just letting y'all know
now. You need
now.
To see the nigger
I
in my
child. Look, I personally see.
I don't want my baby to get
dark,
what you
midnight,
mix with.
Nothing.
You know, I'm black and black.
I like my men midnight. I don't need to see nothing at night except your eyes and your teeth, okay? I want my baby to be black. Black. Chocolate. Okay? And I'm gonna be proud of it.
Alright, so the second dragging that took place this week really proved how crazy a fan base can get at times. Beyonce and Jay-Z were recently courtside at Game 3 of the NBA Finals. The order that they set, it was Jay-Z, Beyonce, then the other side of Beyonce was Nicole Korn, girl, I probably butchered your last name, who is the wife of the Warriors owner. So she had every right to be at this game. Her man owns the damn team. During the game, Nicole, being the host of, you know, this game, and Beyonce and Jay-Z sitting next to her, she took their drink order. So she asked Beyonce, what do you want, sis? She leaned over to Jay-Z, asked him the same thing, what you drinking, bruh? She said that she couldn't hear Jay-Z, so then she had to lean closer over Beyonce to hear what he wanted. My brother plays football, and he has told me more than one time that when you are in a stadium that is filled with, like, hundreds, if not thousands of people, you literally cannot hear the person that's next to you. He will be on the field, and he tells me all the time he can't hear a play being called, or he can't hear his teammate teammate that's standing right next to him on the field. That's how crazy it can be. So, of course, for me, it makes sense that she had to lean over to say, I'm sorry, could you repeat that? But you niggas on Twitter and around the world took this image of her leaning over Beyonce to speak to Jay-Z and turned it into something it did not have to be. A Twitter user by the name of JontaOHT tweeted, Hive, IDK, who this lady is, but we got until the end of the game to find her stats. I'm talking social accounts, email, and social security number. Then he came back up behind that tweet and pretty much doxed her, like put out her Instagram, her Twitter, all her information. Yeah. So I'm not saying he's responsible for what happened, but after that, thousands of people flooded her Instagram with like the B emoji. They were sending this white lady death threats saying you need to kill yourself. People were saying it's justified because Beyonce looked uncomfortable, but Beyonce is a grown ass woman.
But she did look uncomfortable.
I'm gonna tell y'all what I really think was going on. Okay. I think homegirl breath stink. Like, this probably really... No, because you ever, like, been talking to somebody and then they keep, like, talking and you don't have the, like, courage to tell them that they breath stink, but you kind of do the little...
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. Her homegirl would just kept talking, which was cool, but her breath, she needed a little mental.
I don't like Beyonce, I feel like I didn't be in that position one too many times.
Oh, when somebody leaning over you to
yes, and I'm just like, that's rude. I understand what she's trying to do, but at the same time, you could have been like, hey, security guard, come in and take it. Like, it's
I mean,
you
or if they were doing drink, or were they really doing drink orders? Because my
that's
thing
what
is,
she said.
Like, Jay-Z, why was she doing it?
Because she was hosting husband, them.
No, she can take the drink orders. But if, like, say, if my husband is sitting next to me and the lady's getting our drink orders, I'm going to go over to him and be like, what you want to drink?
You would write to her and ask you to ask him.
Well, no, but if I can't hear you, I'm closest to her. So common sense would say, oh, she's asking us to get something to drink. What you want to drink, babe? Oh, okay. He said he want a Sprite and da da da. She can hear me better than she can hear him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So at that point, after she couldn't hear him the first time, I would have been like, what you say? He said he want a Coke. And
exactly.
And it would have just been the end of it.
I feel like we don't really know
the full story. So it's hard to kind of say what it was. If she was taking the drink orders, then I would have just took liberty in myself and just would have said what Jay-Z was saying, because I'm sure Beyonce heard it. But I mean, she just looked like she might have smelled something bad, honestly, or something like, girl, she might have.
I will say, I feel like maybe there was another way she could have done that out of like courtesy and body space and all of that. But a Twitter user by the name of Damn_Toe tweeted, this poor lady was just asking, did he want lime with his drink? And she getting death threats. The Hive is ridiculous. And I agree with that. I feel like regardless of what she was saying to this nigga, for y'all to be like, kill yourself, it don't.
Oh, yeah,
I feel like she had to deactivate her pages. She was crying. Everybody is not a celebrity. Like, some people are built for that. Some people have that thick skin.
Some celebrities ain't built.
Yeah, it got so bad. Y'all know Beyonce don't say shit. Her publicist had to come out and be like, let's all love each other and hold
hands. The Beehive is reckless. Like, I just could never bring my... Like, I'm one of the biggest Beyonce fans. I love Beyonce. But I ain't never gonna go up under somebody else's post, especially for somebody who don't even know I exist.
Yeah.
And be talking about some go kill yourself. Like, people be thinking, like, stuff is funny and cute, but at the end of the day, like, cyberbullying is real.
It is real.
And saying things to people like that is real, because what if that lady did go kill herself?
Exactly.
Because y'all put all that pressure on her. Then y'all would have been like, man, we was just commenting. It's just
Don't take it too serious.
So it's just like, y'all just respect people. We trying to promote love.
I feel like if the Hive ain't even know that Jay-Z had cheated, they wouldn't have even like come this hard at this woman.
Yeah,
wow, because
now that they would have been like, oh, why you and my girl be face? Yeah. It's not like, oh, you talking fart, to my girl next.
Because I did see a lot of tweets like, oh, we not doing this shit again. Jay-Z better calm down. I saw that, and then I saw tweets like, well, she was wrong anyway. You can't lean over me to talk to my man. It was just like,
I feel like it's a thing stupid, of like man. The Hive is like, oh, you better not be you. Oh, I wish you would cheat on Beyonce again.
Yeah,
but no.
The Hive be saying that, but then be.
A nigga that cheated on them.
Look, promoting Beyonce talking to LeBron on the low.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, the Hive don't know what they
want. Because Beyonce got a cheat bet.
No, you don't. Beyonce trying to raise them key off 50 level of her kids, she said. She ain't got time for that.
Yeah, I don't even think
she don't
care.
Need no man my with no receiving hairline.
Like, I really feel like Beyonce go to these games high as hell. Like,
she
I
do.
That. She just be looking zoned out. I really feel like sis couldn't care,
sis
honestly.
Got to.
Like,
people talking over her. She needs to, look, the Houston might jump out.
I'm a Beyonce Knowles Carter fan, not just a Beyonce fan.
Okay.
Beyonce Giselle Knowles Carter.
Giselle.
Okay. All right, so moving on, the last thing I want to discuss before we get into the tweet of the week. Netflix just recently released a limited series called When They See Us.
Oh, Lord, what a tissue.
Which is a true story about the wrongful conviction of the Central Park Five. For those of you who don't know, this is five black boys from Harlem who were arrested and horribly treated like shit for a crime they did not commit. And I'm honestly happy, one, that this story is being told. I didn't realize how many people didn't know about this story or this situation. So I'm happy now that a lot of people within our generation and the generation behind us is being educated on what we already knew, how trash the justice system in America can get. I love Ava, the director. I think that she's just a brilliant creator and just genius in everything that she puts out. I'm also happy that Linda Fernstein, the prosecutor of the actual case, y'all ran that hoe off Twitter and all her social media accounts. So that was something that I'm happy about. That was a good way.
A good deed.
A good deed. With that being said, I still have not seen this movie. I mean, this series. I don't have no plans
on
watching it.
Dang, am I the only one who's watching it?
Yeah, I'm triggered. If I watch it, I'm gonna get triggered.
I can't. I had a friend who, I'm currently in summer classes, so I had a friend who watched, I think, like the second episode before our summer class started, and she walked into class crying. I was like, sis, I'm good. I'm not.
You have to do it on why would I watched it on a Saturday, so I watched it when I knew I wasn't about to go out into the world.
Yeah.
And I watched it all the way through. I just sat and watched it.
Oh, you binged it?
I sat there and I watched all four episodes.
Do you have emotions?
I cried from the first episode to the fourth, but what I will say is you can get through the first three episodes without crying, but no human with a heart can watch that fourth episode, and I'm not gonna spoil it, but it's specifically dedicated to Corey Wise.
Yeah.
Who was the only boy out of the five to be charged as an adult, so he was sent straight to Rikers Island as soon as he was arrested. He was sent to Rikers Island, which is like, everybody knows, one of the worst prisons in the New York area. But that story is just one of those things where it's just like, damn, white people done did some shit again. But it's just, I knew about it, but I didn't know about it.
To that extent.
Like, I didn't know the extent. And it's like, it made me feel so blessed and privileged watching it because...
Really?
Yes, because there's no way in hell that my mother would ever let me be in an interrogation room with policemen and they not being there. And that's what I mean, like, being blessed and privileged. I don't think some people understand, like, some of these guys were coming from, like, lower income families. Mm. So their parents had to go to work and do things. And, you know, we're raised usually to think the police are here to help us. They're here to protect us. So people don't really necessarily sometimes think about if I leave my child here, something bad is going to happen.
Yeah.
But in their case, everybody was working against them.
Yeah.
And my mother would have never, she would have been like, F this job. Y'all not going to be sitting here talking to my child without me in here. But everybody's not that blessed. They were never given a chance. From the moment that this incident happened until the moment that they were exonerated, they were looked at as suspects. They were looked at as guilty.
Yeah.
Yes, it could be triggering, and yes, it could be intense, but I encourage all black people and people of color to watch that movie because it's real. And it's not too far off, because let's be real, the times that we live in now, that could happen to any of us.
And that's honestly for me why I can't watch it, because it's not too far off. When I watch TV and movies, I need it to be an escape, no matter how dramatic or, scary or whatever the case may be, it might be. I need it to be an escape from the reality that I'm currently in. The American justice system is still trash as hell. Mm-hmm. This very day, every time I get on Twitter, I feel like I'm seeing help me find my cousin or RIP to my homeboy who was shot, by the police. He didn't do anything. Literally every time I open this app. So for me to go from my reality to get home and then watch this, I just...
Because I know if I do that, I'm going to just... it's just with, movies like that and just, movies like slave movies. Mm. You just go out in the world, you look at a white person, you just I dare you to do something.
I dare you to say something to me.
Wrong.
I work with too many white people for that. I can't do it.
Exactly.
You say, hi, good morning. Bitch, fuck you in your morning.
Oh, God.
I feel like you can take that rage and turn it into something else. It's... Because movies like these are meant to bring awareness.
Definitely.
And meant to show stories of triumph, because that situation was meant to tear them boys apart and beat them down to a point where they couldn't return from. Mm. And look at them now.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we have to do. when in like stories like that, like, or stories like 12 Years a Slave or other things, these people were set up to fail. These people were given, put in the circumstances where they were not supposed to come back for the, from this. They wanted these people to be dead or crazy or whatever, and they overcome this. And it just shows the resilience of our people and the things that people keep trying to beat us down, but we keep coming back 10 times stronger, 10 times better, 10 times smarter. And that's the thing, like, that I had to look at it. Yes, it was sad. Like, yes, I was crying. Yes, my heart hurt, like, literally hurt watching that story. But then when I got to the end and they gave the update on them, and these people have family, 6 kids, 7 kids, married. And I mean, they also did get a settlement. So, you know,
$40 million.
I mean, no, it's not worth their years and the suffering, but just to see how they've overcome this now and they're able to share their story to inspire people. It's a story of triumph. It's a sad story, but it's a story of triumph because it just shows that, like, no matter what society tries to do to people of color, we keep coming back stronger and harder.
I feel like going back to like what Albany said about privilege, I feel like everybody has that. Well, not everybody, but most Black and people of color have that privilege now because we're in social media. And so like people like put a thread on Twitter, like lawyers or whatever, law students put a thread on Twitter and be like, these are your rights. You have no reason not to know your rights. Yeah. You know, we're like educating each other through with the tools media that we have. So I feel like that's another thing that they didn't have that we
did. Yeah, like now. A community of people. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's so true. That's very true.
When you watch it, you're so like dumbfounded. Like while I was watching it, I was like, this is wrong. Why are they doing that? Why isn't nobody saying anything? Why are they letting them do this? And it's just the thing, and back to privilege, the things we know now, 30 years ago, they didn't know. Yeah. Like now, there's no way any of us would get picked up by the police and we would sit there and start admitting to something that we didn't do or start describing something that never happened.
Yeah.
We would never do that. But see, they didn't know. They were kids and they were raised in this sense that, you know, the police are supposed to protect us.
Yeah.
And so they didn't know.
Yeah. And I'm going to say this and we go on to the tweet of the week, but I do agree with what Kara said. Sometimes Twitter and Instagram, social media period, can honestly just be unhealthy for your sanity and for your mental state. But the beauty of social media is I feel like it unites us as Black people. And because of social media, we do have Black lawyers or people that are just educated and want to help us out. So we do have these threads, like know your rights and know that if you're a minor, one, you can't be questioned without a lawyer or a parent in the room, because that right there is illegal. So how they even got into that interrogation room to begin with still blows my mind. But now, like Tara said, we have things like Twitter and Instagram, Tumblr even, where people will be online just dropping all of these gems for free. And I feel like that's important because it does help us, one, be united as a community, but also know our rights as a community. And so that's something that I'm definitely happy for. I don't know if I'm gonna watch the movie soon, but or the series, I'm sorry, but one day I'm gonna sit down. I just gotta
do it. You can do it one episode at a time. Like,
one episode a month, sis.
Yeah, on the first of the month, go ahead and watch episode. All right. The first week. I don't know how long it's gonna be on there because I know it's a limited series, so I don't know if it's only gonna
be limited
on there.
Series just means don't expect the second or third season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's all that means.
I thought it meant the number of episodes. Like, episodes.
So moving along into the tweet of the week, and this is the reason why I asked you two ladies to be here.
Because
that y'all are
let's go.
I feel that you guys are very comfortable in your sexuality. Albany, one of the first conversations I had with you, you told me that you will tell anybody anything because you stand in your truth.
Yes.
Tara, your ass be wilding on Twitter every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
And so be ready to fight if you say something to her.
Right?
Just stop following me.
Mute my shit, bitch. So, a Twitter user, and this tweet stems from Meg Thee Stallion coming out and saying she goes back to her exes to have sex with them versus adding a body under her belt.
Oh, Lord.
So, a Twitter user by the name of I'm Princess Duh tweeted, having sex with exes to, quote unquote, keep your body count low is internalized misogyny. My question to you ladies is, one, a few questions.
Okay.
Do y'all subscribe to or believe in the ideals of body count being important, being something that matters? Do you agree with Meg Thee Stallion and the idea of going back to your ex so you don't add on? Or
absolutely not.
You don't agree with that?
That is foolishness. I refuse.
Okay, so take the mic, Tara. And do you agree?
You
with
can go
tweet?
For I'll let you have this first and then I'll add my 2 cents in when you get done.
Oh, did you have something else to add?
No, just do you agree with the tweet overall of this girl saying that trying to keep your body count low is
internalized misogyny? It's what the shit straight men want from us.
Okay.
Now, me personally, I'm not going back to my exes. That is foolishness, and I will not participate. However, I believe that body count is something that is a social construct. Mm. So it's something to keep women from enjoying themselves and exploring their bodies and learning what we like and just expressing love. Like, you can't, like, we gotta limit the amount of love that we express to other people. Like, that just...
As far as sex goes.
Yeah, as far as sex goes. So, like, to me, personally, I'm kind of picky with who I share my body with. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to make sure that I want to have sex with you. And then also, like, okay, can this person take care of a child if something happens?
You think about all of that?
Yeah.
In a one-night stand situation? Too?
Yes, because what if it happens, you know? At the same time, I don't care about body count, but I'm not out here just wilding. Because I feel like sometimes I can create a social tie.
Yeah.
But that social tie can be also misconstrued as like a dependency, like a codependency.
You mean a soul tie?
Or like, what do you mean by social tie? Yeah.
Like a social, like soul tie.
A soul tie.
A soul tie. Oh, yeah.
But I feel like
I ain't never heard of social tie.
I was like, girl, Instagram? What?
No.
Twitter?
I feel like I can maybe have a soul tie to this person, but it just could be like a dependency or like not a soul tie.
Okay.
But I miss this person so much. Like,
And that's after y'all have sex that you feel like, oh, like you're feeding for that person.
Yeah.
Albany, what about you?
First off, I just want to say this, and I'm going to make this very clear to people. Body counts don't fucking matter. I'm so tired of seeing this shit. Like,
all right then.
Let it out, sis.
No, I hate that because, first of all, that shit is sexist. When niggas have a body count, nobody gives a fuck.
We don't ask niggas what's your body count.
They get, you know, praises. Oh, you done fucked 30 bitches. Yeah, 40 bitches, 50 bitches, 100 bitches, whatever. But women, if, oh, you done fucked 10 niggas, you a whore. Yeah.
Niggas like, be like, oh yeah,
stupid.
If her body count exceeds 3, oh, it's a dub.
Yeah.
No.
Like, body counts don't matter. As long as you are healthy, as long as you are safe, as long as you are clean, it doesn't fucking matter how many people that you deal with. And also, to that tweet, if you want to have sex with your ex and your ex ain't somebody new, bae, and y'all all single, everybody single, do what you want. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't, that, like, that's the thing with sex. People will try to put all these boundaries, all these rules, all these restrictions on it, and it's not meant for that. Because at the end of the day, if we ain't made, we already breaking the rule of quote unquote in the Bible if you believe, you know, in God and you're a Christian. Like, we're already breaking the rules. So all these other extra rules where you can't do this and then if you do this, like, it doesn't matter. If you want to pop your coochie safely. Like, that's the only rule. Be safe and be smart.
So do you believe in soul ties?
Yes. Yes. Now,
do you think that's contradicting yourself, believing in soul ties and then going back and being like, do your thing, sis?
Well, I do believe in soul ties, but I think that you only create a soul tie with someone that you, like, you have to allow yourself to create that soul tie.
Really?
Because it's an emotion. Like, it's an emotional thing.
But sometimes you don't control your emotions though, sis.
My shit be off the wall.
You choose. Like, there are people that I have been with sexually and I wasn't trying to date them. That's like, there was nowhere in my mind. I didn't want to date them. I didn't like them in that way. Like, we were cool. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like I was like, oh yeah, I'm trying to date him. I'm trying to be his wife. I want to have kids. No, it was just like, you know, what's up?
But a soul tie doesn't always necessarily mean like a connection or like you quote unquote fiending for that nigga. Soul tie can be you have sex with this nigga, then maybe like a week you notice you picking up trace is not your shit. Like, okay, you sleeping in and you normally wake up early. You know, that's what a soul tie.
Or you feel like that person took a piece of you.
Yeah,
away, right?
Took a piece of you or you gained a piece of them. That's also a soul tie.
I think you create a soul tie when you're when you're really open and you're vulnerable.
Mm.
And I think that you can, I don't want to say it's a choice to be vulnerable, but like you have to put yourself in that situation to be, it's a choice. Like I said, there's people that I've been with that I had no intentions of dating. So I wasn't really vulnerable with them. Mm. I didn't open myself up to them because that's not what we were doing. That wasn't what that relationship was for.
Yeah.
There's a key word in that. It's soul, which means that at some point you have had to bear your soul, I feel, to that person to create a soul tie. But if you're not bearing your soul, if you're not opening that part up, how you creating a soul tie?
Spiritually speaking, you can be exposed and not aware of it. Mm-hmm. And not even like in a sexual manner.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes, like I can be around my friend and she can be like in a shitty mood and I'll pick up that energy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Energy is contagious.
Yeah. So if energy is contagious, then we're not even doing anything sexual. Don't you think that it's contagious when you are doing something sexual and maybe even to a higher, stronger intent?
Yes. Yes and no. But I'm a different breed also. I just want to make that clear.
Okay.
Like, my experiences and things that I've been through, and I'm only 22, but there's been a lot that's happened. I operate a little bit differently, but for people who I would say like who may not have been with that many people sexually or are still kind of not, I don't want to use the word naive, inexperienced to being with people sexually or may not be open to or comfortable within their sexuality, I feel as if it might possibly be easier for them to create a soul tie or easier to catch feelings or easier to kind of get caught in situations that they might not want to be a part of.
All right, let me ask y'all this really quickly before we get into the letter of the week. Because like I said before, I feel like both of you guys are comfortable in your sensuality and your sexuality. How did y'all get to that point in your lives?
Honestly. Okay.
Trial and error.
Honestly, because I was a virgin for a very long time. And
now she a big old freak.
Yes, sure, I'm a big old freak. But like when I finally like experienced it and I was comfortable with it, I was like, I don't know, just something just like came over me like one day, like that sounded wrong.
Something came over me.
No, but like really just like this was like around the same time that like Megan Thee Stallion was also like getting real big. And so like you have artists like her that are really empowering and like really open with their sexuality. And so I adapted that personality and now I'm here. And I feel like sex is how we all got here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
some type of way.
There's, you know, why do we have to censor ourselves?
Yeah.
Like, it's 2019 also. Like, stop censoring yourself.
What about you, Albany?
Honestly, I think it came from being bullied in high school. Like, I know that sounds bad.
Girl, make it connect. Okay. I'm like, the make correlation. Make it make sense.
When I was in high school, I think I've always been kind of comfortable within my sexuality because I was in high school saying that I sucked. Like, I was like 16 saying that.
I don't remember that, but okay.
I wasn't doing it. Yeah. That's the sad part. So in high school, I was bullied and being called like a whore and a hoe and a homewrecker and a slut. And people were Instagram DM me, calling me all these things in my comments. I had to deactivate my Instagram page. Like all this while I was in high school. So I think once I got to the point of being grown, that at that point, there was nothing else you could say to me that hadn't already been said. So why not enjoy my life, like live my best life, doing what the fuck I want to do? Because what you going to say? Call me a hoe? Well, I was called a hoe 6 years ago. So come up with something. Is there something new? Is there a new word? Like, because that shit don't hurt me no more. Not unfortunately, but the shit just doesn't faze me now. Also, your sexual partners kind of help you grow in your sexuality and make you comfortable. If you don't have, like, because if you have bad sex, and I say bad sex is like the person that you have sex with, it isn't like an actual, how do I put this? It's not a pleasant sexual experience.
It's not what you imagined.
It's not what you imagined, or you and that person didn't grow, it didn't go together smoothly. Then that'll kind of affect your sexuality too. You might be like, oh, this sex shit ain't for me. But if you have pleasant sexual experience, you enjoy it. It's, you have an outer body experience, you know, look. It can be, it'd be great. No, like, for real, like, having good, like, good and great ass sex with people makes sex fun. Because sex is,
that's what I would feel like, that's what happened to me. Like, that's what really brought me, like, out, with, like, to be comfortable with my sexuality. Like, I was with somebody, like, I feel like I didn't have to calm myself down or, like water myself down. Like, I could just be like
your authentic self. Yeah.
If it's gonna be good, you have to do like little things. You can't just go straight into it. You can't kiss for 3 seconds and just go into it. You know what? Have me back on another episode.
Okay, yo, we got you. We got you.
Please stop having quiet sex too.
Let me get into this letter. I'm gonna bring both of y'all back and y'all can go into the do's and don'ts of sex. So in our last segment for the show, we like to end with a letter from one of our listeners. Our segment is called Tweeting for a Friend. So the letter reads, Dear Twilight Moore and Friends, a few months ago I was at the club and I saw my homeboy's girl kissing on a nigga that wasn't him. I took pictures and sent it to him right away. I then left the club and went to his spot to check in on him, and I could tell that he was really heartbroken. He was going through it for real, y'all. But through his tears, he was adamant that he was ending things with old girl that night. Fast forward a few weeks, and guess who he pulls up to the barbecue with? That same thought asshole.
Dang, she gotta be a thought asshole?
A thought asshole.
I felt some type of way because he was going through it, which made me go through it too because that's my best friend. I pulled him to the side and asked him what's up, and he said that decided to work things out. Well, two nights ago, a mutual friend of ours hit my line and told me he just smashed old girl. I'm conflicted because I want to tell my friend, but at the same time, he clearly knows the type of girl he's with, so why should I waste my time and energy? Should I tell him again that his girl out here wilding, or should I pull her? It's above me now and leave it to the Lord. Hashtag back tweeting for a friend.
You need to tell that nigga.
You gotta tell him.
I wouldn't say nothing.
I wouldn't tell him. Because what if he catched them?
I wouldn't say something. I have been that friend. I'm a loyal ass friend. Like, I go in for my friends. I protect my friends. I ride for my friends. And I had to learn sometimes situations. I have to step back. Your relationship is your relationship. So with my friends, you get a one and done. You get one time, I'm gonna hit you up like, yo, your nigga out here wildin', or yo, your girl out here wildin', she got you looking stupid. Do with that information as you please, especially if my ass has proof. If I got pictures with my accusations, like, you got everything you need and more. At that point, do what you want to do. But if you decide to stay with her, I'm not going crazy over your hoe ass girlfriend. That's not about to happen. I've already told you. You already know the type of chick you with. You told me y'all decided to work it out. Work that shit out.
I've been in a situation, like, literally.
Where you had the friend that knew some stuff?
Yeah, I was a female friend of a male friend, and his girlfriend was out here wild. Like, and when I say wild, and I'm talking about, like, threesomes and shit wild. Mm. And I told him every time. Like,
That shit get tiring, though.
It does get tiring, but also, I'm thinking of, I switched the tables in my mind.
I would want to know.
If it was me, and if I had a boyfriend, I want to know the time, the location.
But clearly you don't tell. Time. You don't care if I'm bro,
love is a powerful thing, okay? Love, when you really love, so I'm just being real.
I don't want to be in love like that.
When you love somebody, you give them chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. You, like, people just got to get, unfortunately, people have to get tired on their own.
Or they have to learn the hard way.
Oh, yeah, learn the hard way. And sometimes people got to get, and I mean burnt, not like.
STD.
I know, but I mean, like, figuratively. Yeah. You got to, like, some people just like stick their hands in the fire over and over
again.
That's
your own prerogative, my nigga.
They don't learn till they, you know, it's burnt up crispy. So it's just like, I'm going to tell you just because I'm the type of friend, I'm loyal to a default, and I'm going to let you know. Now, do what you want to do with the information, but I'm going to always bring it to you so you don't ever question my loyalty, because the thing is, if homeboy finds out that his dude knew, or the female, whoever, his friend knew,
but
that
I
his
tell
girl
you.
Had went out here and smashed somebody while they was together for a different time, he going to be pissed. I don't care what nobody
exactly.
say.
Exactly, so they why don't you just
mad.
Go
They gonna get mad. He gonna be like, bro, you supposed to be my...
I told your ass last week, nigga. Shit, you stay
here.
And
you tell me again,
bro. Exactly. Like, I'm like, man, you know, it's different. She was in the club, but she didn't actually, like...
No, and I feel like when people pull that shit, that's like misplaced anger. Like, well, why you ain't tell me? I told you, bro. Like, me telling you the 15th time, like, the first 13, you knew your girl out here wilding.
True.
I feel, and I, like I said...
But maybe you gotta tell him 14.
I don't know. Like, and
I'm gonna tell him every damn time.
I'm not even gonna do that much. I might, if I'm really fucking with you, I might even get you up to 3. Like, I might even hit you up 3 times. Like, hey, homie, your girl out here doing some shit again. But I've been that friend where sometimes when your friends tell you stuff, like, they, like, oh, my girl did this or my guy did that, you internalize that too. So now you looking at their significant other crazy as hell. Or when they make up, you don't make up with them. When they go home and have pillow talk, you're not a part of that shit. Yeah. So every time old girl come around, you side eye her, like, I want to slap the shit out. You know what I mean? Like, you still hold on to that anger because you're not a part of that relationship when they do whatever to make up. I ain't got time for that no more.
I would tell him, yes, he might have some misplaced anger towards you, but at the end of the day, I would feel better with myself knowing that I told you. So I would just tell him.
Every time.
Like, yes, I would, like, because if I was in a relationship and I found out, like, listen, hypothetically, if my friend Trevor,
who is in the studio,
and Trevor came up to me once and was like, hey, I heard homeboy out here wild, and I'm just letting you know, here's the pictures, whoop-de-whoop. And I got back with him, I forgave him, and then he turned around and did fuck somebody else, and I found out that Trevor knew about it.
We fighting.
I'm going the fuck off on Trevor only because
that's
of the pure
misplaced
fact.
Anger.
You
got it.
It's not misplaced anger, but it's just like, how you gonna know something this detrimental and not tell me?
Trevor, you say something every time?
I tell you at least twice.
Okay.
I don't know, that third time I might consider. It really depends on the situation and how close I am with the friend. I think it's a case-by-case basis.
True. But he would tell me, let's be real.
Well, y'all like best friends.
Yeah,
y'all
that's
like,
my little brother.
Yeah.
That's my little egg.
Y'all like, and that's what I said. Like, that's what y'all like best friends. That's what I'm saying. I could even see, like, I might give you three times if I'm really fucking with you like that.
I just can't, like, I just can't imagine being able to sleep at night knowing my homeboy girl smashed a nigga and I ain't told him yet. That shit gonna bother me.
After the third time, what's the point?
That must be their fetish or something.
Well, no,
exactly, exactly. That's y'all thing.
You love.
Okay, but wait.
Like, damn, how many? I want this to work out because I love them so much and I done built this whatever with them.
Girl,
I
don't fuck all of that. If this nigga cheated, like,
who she is this? Not yours.
Oh my gosh. Okay, but wait, was the girl in the club in the first place?
The first time he said he was at a club or a party, he saw her cussing up another nigga.
Okay, so that's one thing.
You gotta tell.
Yes, exactly.
The first time he told.
One was just like they could have just kissed at a club. But
fucking is something else. Like
this nigga called, first of all, hold on, pause. Did he say that his homeboy called him to tell him that he smashed a dude's girl?
Yeah.
So is the homeboy's homeboy? Because if he
what he said, they mutual friends, so everybody know each other.
You need to know. Tell that nigga.
Yes, because now not only does he need to know that his girl is foul,
his friend is foul.
Now you gotta clean house.
So y'all feel like because of this situation, he's to speak up and say something.
Yes. Okay, first, and then
because he can't
thing,
be dapping this nigga up and this nigga is fucking his girlfriend. Cheeks.
Okay, another thing is, what if this girl, if she out here like that, what if she bringing something else to both the homeboys, the homeboy period?
Yeah.
You need to know.
Yeah.
You need to know.
So we told this nigga to say something.
Say something.
Listen to me. Listen to me. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're from. But you need to tell him because I promise you, I bet my bottom dollar is if and when, because not even if, when he find out that his homegirl smashed this homeboy.
He gonna be mad, yeah.
And the homeboy say something, because you know when hand, people get heated, they be like, well, I told so-and-so. He gonna come for your ass. And it's like, and it's not that he thinks that you a bad, well, yes, it's gonna be because he thinks you're a bad friend in the moment. But it's not to say that you are a bad friend, but you gotta just be honest. Like, honesty is key. And even though it might get on your nerves to keep telling him and you keep saying, man, this girl ain't right for you, you can't control who somebody love, but you can't control the information that they know. Mm. And you gotta respect them, and I hope that you respect them and you love them enough to tell them and be honest with it, because that's what you sign up for in a friendship. Sometimes you sign up for the bad and the ugly and the stupid shit.
If you don't tell,
that's a part of the stupid shit. You gotta tell him.
If you don't tell him, I will do some FBI shit.
Oh, Lord.
And I will find out who you are. And I'm gonna tell him for you.
You need to tell him. Because think about it. If it was your girl, would you want him to tell you?
Period.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, my ass is outnumbered, so tell that nigga, bruh. Call him up.
Like, you got to. Girl, smashing the homie.
Call him up, tell him, and then write back next week and let me know what that nigga did.
We want to know.
Keep us updated.
Bruh. Well,
she must got that fire.
Apparently. Fucking link.
Look, she's exactly going crazy.
Shit. All right, y'all, so that is it for this episode of This Week on Black Twitter. As always, all tweets that we feature will be featured on our IG page and Twitter page, both at This Week on BT. If you want to join in on the conversation, do so by using the hashtag This Week on BT. Follow me personally at Twyla Moore on both Instagram and Twitter. Ladies, do y'all want to plug yourself?
Yes, follow me on Twitter at Tara Shanae.
Don't say shit about her tweets, though.
TerraShanay. And the number 2. And then follow me on Instagram at Tara Shanae, TerraShanay.
And then follow me at Abani Ayana. That's Twitter and Instagram. So it's _ Abani Ayana. That's _ ABANIAYANNA. I almost forgot how to spell my name, y'all. But yeah, just follow me on Instagram and Twitter. And, you know, might be back, might not be back. I'm playing.
She'll be back.
Slide in my DMs. It's a hot girl summer.
Hey, yo, ass out my DMs unless you dark chocolate 6'2 and you are fine with me. 3 women. If you are not fine to at least 3 women,
family not included. Shades,
family not included. Don't hit me up, because y'all niggas be lame and weird trying to like DM me and like my tweets and shit. And no, you're not.
All right, y'all. Stay black, stay blessed, and I will see y'all next week.
In the South. Yeah. That's why I speak proper with these goals in my mouth. On the north side, they really try about a mansion. Ratchet thought from Birmingham, ain't never seen a man.